you have your Bibles this morning, please, if you would, find the 8th chapter of the book of Revelations, Revelation chapter number 8. We will turn, if you wanted to get a little bit of a head start on me, we will go to the book of 2 Thessalonians. We'll get there kind of quick. Revelation chapter 8, chapter 9 would be my goal today. Having that as a goal and understanding our time this morning and understanding what I think the Holy Spirit of God wants to do, I do not believe that I will finish this message this morning, and my desire would be to finish it tonight. Pastor, we're not able to make it tonight, I understand, but you may want to at least try or catch up as you can. Revelation chapter 8, verse number 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. For the next 30 minutes, I would like to sit in total silence and understand this verse. I'm just kidding. Pastor, that was awkward. Yeah. You want to talk about an awkward silence? Let's talk about an awkward silence. Revelation chapter 8, verse number 1. Many colleges ago, they used to train the young men. Before I was born, your pastor would not believe this way, neither would he ever agree to this. But many, many moons ago in Bible colleges, the young men would take this verse and they would debate whether or not there would be women in heaven. And there was silence. Now, your pastor would never tell a joke like that. Your pastor would never believe that. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints send it up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, filled it with the fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. As we come to Revelation chapter number 8, we find ourselves picking up where chapter 6 ended. If you remember last week, I preached to you chapter 7, and I had you take a pen and I had you put parentheses around chapter number 7 so that you would understand its location within the opening of these seven seals as we are now making our way into the tribulation period. We understand that the chapter 8 is the opening of the seventh seal. You will find as we go through this seventh seal that as it is opened, there will be seven angels that are seen. And these seven angels have in their hands seven trumpets. You take a trumpet and you research the history of the trumpet in the Bible. It was a very special instrument given to the nation of Israel. Mostly the trumpet was used to do one of a couple of things. The sound of war. The other part was the sound of a congregation or gathering together. was also used as it was to blow in significance. And so we find that the trumpet, along with the silence of the moment, is designed to grab attention. When you come to chapter 8, verse number 1, and you think about all that has gone on in chapters 4, 5, 6, and 7, and you think about the noise of heaven, not some unrestrained or ungodly noise, but when you think about the sound of worship, and you think about that number of those souls that was innumerable, and you think about the heavenly host, and you hear them saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And especially as John is writing in chapter number 6, and you're hearing all of that worship take place, and then all of a sudden there's nothing but deadening silence. We have some adages upon the earth that says that silence is deafening. This silence is so awkward and so powerful that John begins to time, and he timed it at 30 minutes. We did active shooter training here at the church as a staff over the summertime. The Plantation Police Department came in here and led us through some things to help us. And they had us all in this front room up here, and you know, they were there, and very cordial, very polite, very, very professional, and they were greeting us and talking with us, and we were sharing, and all of a sudden a little lady officer got us an attention, and she had us sit down, and she began to say, "My name is so-and-so, and I am here today." And about that time, we heard boom, 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 boom shots right outside that door, that when they fired them, it sounded and echoed all the way through this building. It was so overwhelming that I immediately got goosebumps. And it was so paralyzing that you didn't even realize what was going on. And as soon as they finished with those flashbangs, they flashed a count on the wall. 2 minutes. And they began to tick that 2 minutes down. I submit to you that we sat there in utter silence for 2 minutes. And those 2 minutes seemed like a lifetime. John is in heaven, and all of a sudden there's utter silence. And he times it. The silence is so overwhelming because of what is to follow. The silence is preparing not only heaven, but it's making us, as we look forward to that, understanding what is about to be unleashed upon the earth. The silence, so awkwarding, now has everybody's attention. And John says, "I saw seven angels. And those seven angels had seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, and having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense." Now, when you hear the word incense, it takes you all the way back to the Old Testament, and you always find that incense is tied to prayer. It was offered up along with prayer to symbolize the beautiful fragrance that prayer is to God. By the way, God loves it when his people pray. And John says that that angel was there, and much incense was given, and he took that incense and he mixed it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints began to ascend up before God. And as it ascended up before God, that angel took that censer and filled it with fire of the altar. And all of a sudden, as that angel's holding that fire, he cast that fire down into the earth. John said, when that hit the earth, there was a movement upon the earth, and the earth literally began to shake. Pastor, what is happening here? I'll tell you exactly what is happening here. Chapter number 8, as it opens up with the opening of the seventh seal, you have God moving now to prepare the earth for judgment. When we get done with these seven trumpets, you will find that humanity has drawn their line in the sand. When we get done with these trumpets today or tonight, you will find that sides upon the earth at this time in the tribulation period have been chosen. You will understand that men's minds have been made up. And now it is war. You find, as we move into those trumpets, and before we do in verse number 6, that God is moving according to these prayers that are being offered. Pastor, what are these prayers? It is imperative that you understand what these prayers are before you're going to be able to understand this message. These are tribulation prayers. Tribulation prayers? Yes. When I say tribulation prayers, I'm talking about the tribulation, which is a time that we are not in yet. We're talking about a time where the church has been raptured off of the earth. You have found that the nation of Israel has already confirmed the covenant with the Antichrist for 1 week, 7 years, and we're moving our way during that. I told you last week in chapter number 7 that you found that many folks will be saved upon the earth during the tribulation period. We also understand from the opening in chapter 6, from the opening of the fifth seal, that prayers had ascended and had been gathered up upon the earth. Today, you and I do not live in the tribulation period. We live in something called the church age or the age of grace. That ought to get a good amen from God's people there. Today, how many have an unsaved friend or family member that you're praying for? You can put your hand down. When you pray today, you pray something like this: God be merciful. God be gracious. God save them. God manifest your love to them. God, please be saving and gracious and kind. God, please, I'm begging you for mercy for these people. We all have wept and prayed. In this moment, the prayer will sound vastly different. In this moment, you go back to chapter 6 and you look at verse number 10. Please hold your hand here and go there. In chapter 6, verse number 10. They cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and," what class? "Avenge our blood." You know what the difference between a tribulation prayer and the age of grace or the church age prayer? Our prayers are for grace and mercy. By the way, if you're in this room and you know someone is praying for you or your soul, you had better regard today the impact of those prayers. We are praying for grace and for mercy and for love and for kindness and for you to come to salvation. If you're alive on the earth at that moment in time, the prayer from the saints will not be that way. It will be for vengeance. I got to have you read 2 Thessalonians. Hold your hand here. You got to read 2 Thessalonians. You have to let your eyes fall upon it. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. We know from the book of Romans that Paul revisited what God told Moses in Deuteronomy, that vengeance belongs to him. We know that in the book of Romans, that Paul says, vengeance does not belong to us, but it belongs to the Lord. I want to show you what Paul wrote about this moment we're reading about. He wrote about it before John ever did. In chapter number 1 of the book of 2 Thessalonians, you have folks that have believed that they have missed the rapture. You have people who already think that they are in the tribulation period. And you have people that have that are filled with unrest. Look, if you would, at verse number 7 of chapter number 1. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking," what class? "Vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Don't miss the rest of the verses. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. That's talking about those tribulation saints. That's talking about those people that are alive on the earth at that time. He will be glorified there. Watch this. And to be admired in all them that believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. What is he saying? When God comes back to take vengeance and to be glorified, there will be an admiration from those of us that believed. If you have believed upon the Lord, say amen. I don't know how to tell you this other than to tell you that when Jesus comes back to the earth during that tribulation period, and he takes vengeance on them that have rejected him, and he takes vengeance on those folks that have entrenched themselves. And I will show you, it's not an innocent entrenchment. When we get to the end of the message tonight, you are going to see the depth of the human nature. When you understand how they have entrenched themselves, and Jesus unfolds himself in all of his glory, we will admire him. Awesome. Pick up, if you would, back in chapter 8, verse number 6. Let's begin to make our way through these seven trumpets. The Bible says in verse number 6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth. The third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. As you begin to open the seals, that seventh seal, that first angel that blows that trumpet, you see that the first trumpet brings literal fire and hail upon the earth. It hailed here this week. We stood outside and we saw the little marble hail falling. And I thought, there will be a day when hail falls on the earth. And the Bible says that it will fall and have such damage, and lightning will run across the ground mingled with blood. John's watching this seventh seal unfold as God is providing these trumpets. He said, I saw a second angel. By the way, when that hail and that fire comes, it will cause the destruction of most of the vegetation on the earth during that time. Famine and a lack of oxygen will be produced from this result. The second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now here's where I have to be very careful. I cannot tell you how many authors I have read as I prepare to preach to you these messages. I had one prayer that was vital when I started this. I wanted to be protected from sensationalism. And as I read some of the authors, they begin to get very sensational and they begin to try to figure out all of these things. Let me just give you a couple of words here. Remember, we said that the book of Revelation was a literal translated book. We believe in a literal Bible. But it also is symbolic. The best the preacher can do is navigate his way through this as the Holy Spirit of God enables him to do this. So as we make our way through chapter 8 and through chapter 9, there will be some times that I'm going to tell you that Bible expositors are all over the map on the who or the descriptions of what these are. For example, when you come to verse number 8 and John writes, I saw as it were a great mountain burning. Some of our Bible scholars begin to believe that that's some kind of volcanic eruption. I don't know. I don't know. It could be. Some of them believe that it was some kind of meteorite that has come and that fell into the sea. I don't know. I do know what happens because of the cause. And what happens because of the cause is that whatever this mountain is burning, whether it's a meteorite or a volcanic blow up, it comes into the sea and a third part of the sea becomes blood. You talk about a red tide. The third part of the creatures which are in the sea that had life, they die. We know this to be a real sea because there's ships in there and the ships are destroyed. This will produce, this effect upon the water will produce a reduction of evaporation, a shortage of rain and fresh water on the land. As the ships are destroyed, you talk about international commerce, the distribution of food and resources will be severely hampered. I'm telling you that John is seeing things that are going to happen at this period of time. And I just want to stop again and say, thank God I'm saved and I won't be here. Verse number 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven. Some people want to say that this is Satan. I don't know that. I would not venture to say that. But let me show you what happens as the star falls. Burning as it were a lamp, it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many died of the waters because they were made bitter. You're talking about water that has been made bitter that is resulting in widespread thirst and death. This word wormwood, you find it all throughout the Old Testament. It carries with it the idea of an undrinkable, bitter, dangerous situation. You and I that live in Hurricaneville, we understand the importance of water. What do you think will happen upon the earth when they no longer trust the water that they drink? You think you have panic at Sam's when there's no water. You talk about this moment. I've literally seen them fist fight over cases of water. Usually Beverly wins that fight. My money's always on her. You remember Cabbage Patch Dolls? My mom got in a horrific fight. Mom, if you're watching, I'm sorry. She got in a horrific fight one time getting a Cabbage Patch doll. That Cabbage Patch doll, like those Beanie Babies, were supposed to pay for my kids to go to college. She sold every one of them in a garage sale. A fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So as a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and night likewise. You understand that nothing will be safe as God uses it upon the earth. Verse 13, he says, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the, oh God, let that not be you. Oh God, let that not be you. Pastor, do you mean that you want me to die? No. I mean I want you to be with the Lord, raptured as part of the body of Jesus Christ, as a believer in the Lord. Understand, when the Lord comes to take vengeance upon the earth, you do not have to be here. Pastor, you're out of your mind. No, I'm in the Word of God. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet, of the three angels, which are yet to sound. They've opened the seventh seal. Four trumpets you've already seen. Hail and fire has destroyed much of the vegetation. Some kind of mountain burning in the sea has turned a third part of the sea into blood. It's killed a third part of the creatures. It's destroyed the ships of the sea. The third angel that fell, as it brought a lamp, fell into the water system of the world. And the waters now are called wormwood. A third part of the sun has been darkened, a third part of the moon, a third part of the stars, so that the days now are not 24, but they're 16 hours. Even the days are different. And you would think that that would be sufficient to get men's attention. But John said, all of a sudden, I saw another angel flying, and another angel said, wait, whoa. There's more coming. Chapter number 9, verse number 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Oh God, help us here. Bible scholars say that this star that is falling is either torn. It's either an angel of God who has the key to the bottomless pit. Some believe it is Satan himself. I don't necessarily hold to that. I do not know why God would entrust Satan with the keys to the bottomless pit. God's going to throw him in the bottomless pit. But a star falls. And to him is given the key of the bottomless pit. You need to know what the bottomless pit is. Has anybody ever heard this word before? The bottomless pit. When you think about bottomless pit, do not think of hell. It's not hell. Do not think of Hades. It's not Hades. Do not think of Tartar. It's not. Do not think of the prison house of the fallen angels. The bottomless pit is the abyss of demons. It is the place where the demons are confined. Some Bible scholars take you even pre-humanity to these disembodied spirits that are held captive in the bottomless pit. They're wicked. It holds the unclean and the vicious. These spirits that are referred to as the familiar spirits of the Old Testament, the seducing spirits in the New Testament. My friends, the bottomless pit is the abyss of demonic presence. Don't you remember when Jesus confronted that man with those demons? They said, "Do not put us into the abyss." Confinement is in there. And John said when he blew that trumpet, and I saw that fifth angel, I saw a star come down, and that angel had the key to that bottomless pit, to all of that evil. Watch what unfolds on the earth. And he opened, verse 2, the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of that smoke, say that word, locusts upon the earth. I want to stop right here. And once again, I'll tell you, we find ourselves at literal and symbolic. We know what a literal locust is, but this is a symbolic description of what comes out of that pit. Verse number 3. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. That's all locusts do, is eat the vegetation. These are not natural locusts. Neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the, say those three words, seal of God in their foreheads. We talked about this. We talked about those 144,000 Jewish men that had the seal of God upon their foreheads. And to them, it was given that they should not kill them. This is interesting. But that they should be, what class? Tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? They shall desire to die. Death shall flee from them. Pastor, if a man wants to kill himself, a man can kill himself. Are you telling me that if a man in that day goes to the Empire State Building and jumps off the Empire State Building that he'll not die? No, that's not what I'm telling you. Are you telling me if a man wants to end his life in any of the ways that he wants to do, that if he was to pull a trigger or he was to shoot himself or he was to overdose or he was to do these things, are you telling me that that very act won't happen? No. You jump off a building, you're an idiot. What I'm telling you is humanity will be so demon possessed for 5 months that they will not be in charge of themselves. The demon that will come out of that bottomless pit that will not kill humanity but torment humanity, possessing humanity, will keep them from even killing themselves because the demon will have no place to go. Pastor, you're out of your mind. Okay, so let me read you the description. Look, if you would, at verse number 6 or 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. On their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. Their faces were as the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots, of many horses running to battle. They had tails like unto scorpions. There were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. Verse number 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Hold your hand here. Let me just show you how special the Bible is. Go all the way to the book of Proverbs, please. All the way to the book of Proverbs. We were taught in Bible college. Pastor, you went to college? Mm-hmm. We were taught in college that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Outside of the Lord Jesus, Solomon is attributed as the most brilliant man alive. We know that he wrote most of the Proverbs. When you come to Proverbs chapter number 30, Agur is given credit here. But I want you to look at something in verse number 27. He makes a statement. The locusts have no, what class? King. Yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. The locusts have no king. Come back, if you would. You can leave Proverbs. Come to Revelation chapter 8, verse number 11. It said, and these locusts, they have a king over them. So we're not talking about natural locusts. We are talking about demonic movement here. You're talking about locusts that look like horses, which show their war-like character. Crowns upon these demons' heads that show them as conquerors. Human faces show that they have intelligence of a man. Their feminine hair makes them seductive and attractive. I want to just stop right here. I want to say to every kid from 13 to 30, if you could look past the seduction and attractiveness of all that the world has to offer, at the very heart, you would see a diabolical demon named Satan himself, and you would rather have Jesus than all this world affords. The breastplate of iron makes them indestructible. Wings symbolize their swiftness. Stings in their tail give them power to hurt. Praise God, they only can hurt for 5 months. It's not the first time you've been told about these in the Bible. Let me read you Joel's description of this moment. Don't miss a word. Joel said, the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and horsemen. So shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble. As a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone his ways. They shall not break ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. Praise God, I'm saved. John said, I saw them blow that fifth trumpet. I saw that star that fell. And he had the key to that bottomless pit. He opened up that bottomless pit, and out came those confined demons, those disembodied spirits. And they came out like locusts. And they moved upon the earth. You would think that that would get men's attention. Verse number 12. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And I think I'll stop right here. And I will pick back up tonight, but let me show you where we're headed tonight. And the sixth angel sounded. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Literally, symbolically, it could be nations. Literally, there could be four angels that are bound in that river, awaiting the day, the hour, the day, the month, and the year. Look at verse 15 now. When these ones come for to slay the third part of men. In the fifth trumpet, they could not kill men. in the sixth trumpet when they come out of that river and 200 million strong. You will find that when we get to the end of the sixth trumpet, at that time upon the earth, half of the world's population is gone. Gone. Let me close by going all the way back to the beginning of the message. John said, it was quiet, and there was silence. And I saw that angel bring that incense, and I saw him mix it with the prayers of the saints, and I saw it rise up before God. I saw that other angel take that censer and stick it into that fire from that altar. And he stuck it in the earth. Tribulation prayers for vengeance. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, but you know that Christian people have been praying for you, this ought to strike you to your core. You ought to understand that God treasures the prayers of his people. You better understand the day in which you live in. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Well, Pastor, I'm not ready to be saved. That word ready could be defined as not willing. I understand you might not be willing. You're ready to be saved. But you need to understand that God is being merciful and gracious in extending to you the opportunity to be saved. There will come a day, if you survive and you're on the earth, that that prayer will change. And God, in response to the prayers of the saints, will unleash upon that. I want to say this, and I want to say it as kindly as I can. You would be so foolish to know the gospel now and not to receive it. Amen? God won't let me. But when you come back tonight and you see the entrenchment of human nature, you will understand. But now, God is being gracious to the entrenchment of human nature. And you can bow your knee to the Lord. But there will come a day that every knee will bow, whether by faith or by force. And God will deal with that entrenchment. Christian people, in all of the hell that's going on in that tribulation time on earth, and all of that chaos, and those people, those Christian people that are being martyred and dying for their faith, and they're praying, God has got their prayers. And God is treasuring those prayers. By the way, God treasures your prayer today. Pastor, my life is chaotic. Pastor, it doesn't seem like anything is happening. Pastor, everywhere I turn, you're telling me God hears my prayer? No, the Bible tells you God's hearing your prayer. And it's arising to him. Why isn't he doing something? Oh, he is. He's keeping that prayer for that perfect moment. Second thing you need to know. I've always preached this, and now I finally know why God let me preach it. Your prayer will outlive your life on the earth. God is hearing prayers from the earth, but he's also hearing those prayers from under the altar. And those prayers that have been prayed are treasured by God. God's people, don't stop praying as long as you're on the earth. Don't stop believing and trusting God. Continue those prayers. These are prayers of mercy and grace, and people need them, and God hears our prayer. Don't let that transition over to there. Stay faithful to that. The devil will tell you any reason to quit. Don't stop praying. Oh, man. I beg you to heed the message today. Shall we pray?